I'll talk about my participation in the Witnesses to Hunger program and the, I guess, the benefits that we hope to get out of participating in Witnesses to Hunger and just health is what we're here for today. Let me just click.
Yeah, just click on the left side. The left click.
Okay, I have no personal relationships. I'm Erica Smalley. This first picture, indicates just the relationship that my children have. I make sure that they maintain a close bond because it's good for them to have the healthy relationship, not just now, but throughout life. Siblings and families sometimes, as they grow older, tend to become distant, and they have to make sure they always know that they have each other if they don't have anybody else. This is a snapshot of one of my pay stubs. The pay stub indicates a lack of income in order to maintain a healthy lifestyle. So even though I go to work and I work a 40-plus work week, doesn't necessarily mean that the funds coming in are enough to take care of the funds that are going out. So something takes and something gives. This picture indicates the benefits that I received while I was on welfare and I was able to qualify for the food stamps and how they actually did go to buy and put food in the home to make sure we would have healthy foods in the home, and that the welfare program does benefit to that effect if it's given to the right participants. And sometimes I think the qualification guidelines are a little off, because just because I work 40 hours a week, I don't qualify for these benefits anymore. So I no longer can maintain a refrigerator or a pantry that holds nutritious foods or hardly any food at all, which is what this picture indicates. That's basically what my freezer looks like now. Once again, even though I work a 40-hour work week, it's hard to maintain the income in to opposed to what goes out. So, no money. I mean, you have to pick and choose your battles. So there's an empty freezer, which is what happens after food stamps. There's very limited access to the proper foods to get what you need, but you get what you can when you can. So there is a whole chicken in there. I'm pretty sure I grabbed, some broccoli out of the freezer as well and threw on, a pasta mix and made dinner, and that lasted a couple of nights. This picture is a picture that shows the fine cuisine of Oodles and Noodles from time to time. They are a cheap, easy to come by, easy to prepare. The kids enjoy it. But even though they enjoy it from time to time, they get tired of it as well. They would like to know when we're going to have baked chicken and, mac and cheese and some cabbage or, coleslaw. And then that's my youngest at the library. And the library, it's a public facility where you can go and you can utilize the tools that they have there. At this time, she was not school age, so it was something that we would do in our spare time. So even when I was out of work, I maintained a relationship with my children that would be beneficial to show them that just because mommy doesn't go to work, it doesn't mean that we're not going to do anything all day either. So we did take the trips to the library, and she got a chance to explore books and pictures and sounds and a computer. And now she's preschool age and she attends preschool, so she's a little more inclined to be able to adapt to that situation because I set her up for it. This picture, and I believe the next few slides, show the condition of the neighborhoods, the abandoned properties. They're not really a good look for the areas. They're not motivational. They're not something that gives you empowerment to want to live in these places. I believe that with the resources and the finances, these homes could be used for so much more good. They could become group homes or shelters or low-income housing for people who don't have exactly what they need to live in a comfortable environment. And if we improve the neighborhoods, then the people in the neighborhoods will have no choice but to improve their lifestyles. It would give them the motivation and the will to want to do better for their neighborhood. So if you're walking down a block with a bunch of abandoned houses, what's going to deter you from throwing trash on the ground? This is an abandoned storefront. Once again, just properties going to waste. They're not very safe. They're hazardous to your health. Homeless people, lots of times, take up in them, which creates health hazards because we don't know what trash is storing in them. We don't know what they're doing in them. A lot of times they use them for like drug meetings. They do. That's where they go to get high. They leave their paraphernalia behind. It's I think it's a useless waste of space. So much more could be done with the properties that just sit around that aren't tended to. This slide here indicates damages in a home that I used to reside in and the condition that the landlord kept the property in and how me as a tenant was, we're basically powerless. We're put in these situations where we think we are going to have a good communication, a good relationship with the people we're doing business with, but they use, I guess, their authority and their knowledge of the business to take advantage of, you know, people who they know work every day and live paycheck to paycheck and can't just say at the drop of a hat, I'm leaving, I'm moving out, I'm going to find somewhere else better to stay. So I lived in that condition for a few years. That's water leaking, damage to the roof, mold, which are all health hazards. And these are the children's bedrooms. These are common areas of the house, not areas that didn't have to be visited on a regular basis. We slept in these rooms. This picture shows the electricity and how we had to run extension cords basically through the rooms in order to power the house adequately for the utilities and the, what do I want to say? The appliances that we had in the home, air conditioners, fans in the summertime, the television, just normal everyday living things that we needed, and this is the way we had to run them. This is how we slept at night, not knowing, you know, if the next day the smoke alarms would be going off because of the electricity. We eventually took the landlord to court and tried to fight him about the house and the repairs on the house. And we just recently moved out of that house. This is showing, once again, just what we as witnesses are doing with the program, how we are presenting this issue, and we're putting it out there on the forefront. This is me giving my testimony, I believe, at another convention we had, where the House of Representatives, where Shaka Fatah and some of his colleagues were. And there's a lot of interest in the matter, but I guess not a lot of enthusiasm to really get things done. We're working on it. And I'll let Imani take over from here. Thank you very much.
I pulled my pencil out because I don't know what I got. You said the left click? This one? Good morning. I chose this picture because, as you can see, it is a health hazard. And there was a single mother and her three children living in this house. The back of the house doesn't have a back door. They had sheetrock up and a blanket. The side doesn't have any windows. It just was a catastrophe that somebody really, like, literally had to live there. And this is at the end of the summer when the city fixed the house up. They didn't give the family anywhere to live. They just told them that they had to go because the house was getting boarded up. Now, I don't know what happened to the mother and her three children, but I just noted that to take the picture because it's been like that. And I only lived in that area for a year, but the house has been previously like that for 10 years. So I took this picture of the public assistance office because I don't think that they really look at our situation. I think they just look at, they section us out as to everybody is the same way. Like, we all just want to sit home and collect food stamps and get welfare, and they just treat us like an alien or a number. Like we're not even supposed to be registering, or we're not even supposed to know where the office at, because you ask them for help and they look at you like you crazy, like you don't know, like they don't know what you're talking about. So I picked this office because, first of all, it's because it's the welfare office and how the way they treat you and the area that it's in. My favorite city hall picture. I got so many different meanings for this picture, but my main meaning is to let them know that I'm watching them like they need to be watching me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like they can watch the news and see what's going on in the neighborhoods, and you know, might get a read the newspaper, but they really don't know what goes on in our neighborhood unless they're in our neighborhood. And that gave me a little bit of sign of hope that is somewhere I can go to talk to somebody that can make those kind of changes in my area. This is a picture of a daycare that's in in the area where I grew up. Their daycare expenses are over the roof. Like, it just really doesn't make any sense. But I took the picture of the car lot because that's right next door to the school. The children don't have any play areas. There's nowhere for them to stretch their legs or even attempt for them to have recess or any kind of fun time because they're next to an abandoned lot. This is my 3-year-old. At the time when I took this picture, I'm gonna try not to cry. At the time I took this picture, I had been without food stamps for a month and a half. I had got a 50-cent raise on my pay. And they cut my food stamps and my medical benefits off completely. And I had to reapply. This was my fourth visit to the office, because their machines was down and they couldn't process my application and my paperwork. So my son was hungry and he's reaching his hand out asking my caseworker for the food that she was eating. She told him no, there wasn't any more left, and she decided to eat a tasty cake that was sitting on her desk after she told him no, there wasn't no more chips in the bag. So like I said, at this time, me and my family had been without food stamps for a month and a half, and this was my fourth visit. As you can see, his bottle was empty. That was the last bit of juice that we had in the refrigerator. This was our second exhibit display. This is me explaining my situation as far as what I just explained to you, the welfare picture, to Mr. Bob Senator Casey Jr. He cracked a joke. I don't remember what the joke is on the bottom picture, but I did want them to catch me laughing. But this was the first step to us making a change and a difference for our kids. This was our first step in to get to Washington. That was our goal, and we accomplished some of it, part of our goal, but we trying to get to the White House. So if we can meet Bob Casey, I think we can make it to the president. It is? Okay, this is our first exhibit. actually, this is our first exhibit and my first television experience talking about witnesses and everything all in one time. Those are my most powerful pictures to me. I think that's why I chose those. And that interview. And this is, me and my family had got an interview from the Washington CBS newscaster. They had talked to my son about, at this time, they were talking about food breakfast, food lunch, school lunch, the after-school program. So my son was letting them know that he's involved in all of those programs. He goes to school. He has lunch in the morning with his friend. He has school lunch. He has this breakfast in the after, because he's involved in the tutoring program after school. So they have the after-school snacks and things for them. He was just trying to let the world know that we need those. In his views, not by, the adult side of it. He did it on his side because he eats breakfast and lunch in school every day. So he was like, Mom, do you think I can talk about what go on in my class? I said, well, that's the purpose of you giving the interview. And that's what he did. He spoke from the bottom. He spoke from his heart. And I think that by my son doing that, I don't know. I just think that he showed the world that it's not about the adults. It's really about the kids. And that's what he told them, that he wanted them to know that. But so he said some people don't have food and breakfast and stuff like I don't have it. So he recruits all the friends that he know that don't have breakfast, and they all meet at the corner of my block and they go eat breakfast together. So he kind of got like a little volunteer, a little funding thing going on with the school breakfast and the after school program. This is us repairing. We were painting the recreational center. I think the mayor had a cleanup. That's when the mayor had the cleanup day. Am I right? Mayor had the cleanup day, and we just decided to volunteer and show them that the moms can do something as well as everybody else. So this was one of our events. That's it. My son and I did the mayor's hunger walk. My son is really involved in a lot of the things that I do as far as witnesses. He's very proud of me. He's my motivation. He's helped me to do witnesses and keep going. And the single picture of me, I gave a speech in Wenatchee, Washington, on, what's the name of the conference?
It was the Anti-Hunger Conference,
but I gave a speech, and that's the Apple State. Mm-hmm. I learned that's the Apple Country. Those are both for my children, my 10-year-old and my 3-year-old. We were at a family event. Everybody, it was my pop-pop's birthday, and everybody saved their money, put money together so that no one person was singled out to afford to have to pay for the dinner. So it was like just a good old family day with just me and my kids. Thank you. You want me to click it again?